is Greg Farrell, CEO and President of Farrell Wealth. It's a wealth management firm here local in Valparaiso, Indiana. The show's Money Matters with Greg. Basically, you talk on this show about different things that help you with your financial literacy, sort of overviews of everything from investments to insurance, estate planning, conversations about things like that with different guests that we have on in regards to, let's say, debt. We've had mortgage brokers on. We've had lawyers on to talk about estate planning, a number of different things and guests. And we're always really, really excited to be able to have a guest on that is an expert in their field and what they do. And we do a number of different qualified plans in regards to investments and setting up those plans, whether they might be defined contribution, defined benefit, you name it, in our practice here in Valparaiso, Indiana. But it's also really nice being able to run into some of the advisors that we have out there, especially affiliated with LPL and our broker-dealer and Lauren Brandrup. It's been having a nice little episode. We've been doing two or three different episodes here on a fiduciary series to talk about your overall health of a plan and whether you're a fiduciary or whether it might, you know, whatever it might be as far as defined contributions. We have Lauren on today again. He's from Next Level Planning in Wealth Management in Brookfield, Wisconsin, and he's a director of group benefits and retirement plan consultant there for that group. His website is nlpwm.com. You can also find him on LinkedIn. Once again, got to welcome back Lauren Brandrup.
How you doing? Good to see you again. Appreciate you having me back on.
Good to have you back on. I appreciate it. Thanks again for the time. Today, we're going to talk again about plan. We've talked about plan design. We've talked about being a fiduciary. But really wanted to talk in this final episode here, talking about evaluating plan health. How healthy is your plan? How do you know if your plan is healthy or if it's not, or if it actually has an ailment, that something might need to be fixed or might be a hole that needs to be plugged or whatever it might be. But evaluation of that current plan, that plan health, I want to go in with Lauren, who's going to talk about that. You know, question for you, how do you evaluate your overall 401k plan health?
Yeah, great question. You know, I kind of like to relate it to, you know, maybe a business owner that we've been working with on their retirement plan. You know, when looking at your own business, you know, what is your cash flow like? What is your profitability? You know, you have certain measurements that you look at as a business owner to see how your plan, your business health is, just like an individual would go in for a checkup with their doctor for maybe some annual labs. I think really it starts with number one, benchmarking. I know we talked pretty in depth last time on our second series of the, of our podcast here on benchmarking, some different areas to look at and what's important. You know, as a reminder, it's a best practice to do that every 3 to 5 years, just to take a look at the costs and the services rendered from each one of your providers. But I think that's ultimately the number one thing to first look at. Once you've gone through that process of benchmarking and you've figured out, okay, you know, my plan is really maybe where it needs to be, the services that we need for our employees and specific to our plan is in place, we have good service providers, great. Well, then take it a step further and evaluate where you're currently at with your overall plan health. I think there's multiple different metrics you can look at for that. A couple being, you know, taking a look at what is your actual participation rate in your plan. You know, outside of your participation rate in your plan, those that are participating, what is the average contribution rate? And one area that I think I've focused heavily on the last year and a half or 2 years has really also been on Roth contribution rate, which I think is something that has ticked up quite a bit in utilization, given that we are historically in a low taxation period of time. But, you know, there's different measurements that I will use a lot of times out there. Industry kind of standards, if you will, kind of like an ISO. Look at the 401k book of average, for example. The Plan Sponsor Council of America also does an annual survey every year. Unfortunately, I, because of ongoing pandemic, can't attend the Orlando NAPA Summit this year because I always get my free copy. It's a fantastic book that looks at different industries, different plan sizes, for-profit, non-profit. It's a wealth of knowledge that I've used many, many times when looking at, you know, current plan health, if you will.
And then one of the things too, that does, and being able to see kind of the plan health that's out there, how your plan compares, but doesn't it also sort of measure how your match is, maybe how your match is against other similar employers in the industry?
Absolutely. Yeah. And so what those different publications will do is they will look at, again, your industry or just, you know, employer size. They'll take a look at some of the common employer matches that are out there, what percentage report, and this information is all self-reported by plan sponsors to the Plan Sponsor Council of America. We'll take a look at, you know, how many people have adopted a safe harbor contribution versus maybe a non-safe harbor. How many are still offering maybe a straight profit sharing contribution versus an ongoing match. It also takes a look at, you know, the adoption rate of auto enrollment or auto escalate, and looking at, you know, the investments, how many investments are in your plan. There's a lot, a wealth of knowledge and metrics that you can really look at for your overall plan. And I think, you know, by having somebody that's engaged to help you navigate through that and identify, you know, what areas that you may have gaps in the current 401k or defined contribution plan you offer is key to ultimately putting together a proper plan to address those gaps.
That's great stuff. It's Greg Farrell, CEO and President of Farrell Wealth. The show's Money Matters with Greg. We have Lauren Brander up here on from Next Level Planning Wealth Management in Brookfield, Wisconsin. We're talking about the health of 401k plans and some of the things we see. You know, some of the things that we're talking about here, you know, that really guide you is to say, well, my plan is healthy, or my plan could be healthier, just like we're all trying to be a little healthier, right? And a little bit better out there. You know, safe harbor versus non-safe harbor, vesting schedule, employee turnover, qualified, you know, default investment alternatives, the QDIAs, you know, are they already in place? Or are we going to add them? All of these things, you know, being able to look at the target date funds and evaluate their health as far as their glide path and their you know, their asset class and all of these things to go through just sort of really help you get to be a healthier plan down the line. Lauren, I want you to talk about current employee and plan communication as well, because with good solid process in regards to plan communication with the employees, that also makes your plan healthier as well, doesn't it?
Absolutely. You know, and just like really anything in life, communication is key. I mean, I really start communication with my own relationship with my wife. You know, I feel we have a very healthy relationship because anything I probably over communicate if you ask her. But you know, I think when talking about your company sponsored retirement plan, you know, communicating your benefits and your employees' total rewards, why it's important for them to understand, why it's important for them to participate. You know, there's real dollars that you as a business owner put up to operate these, not even including the overall risk associated with being the plan fiduciary. So it's really important that you make sure that people are well versed on what these benefits are. You know, and I think that starts with looking at what current processes do you have in place. You know, from the different providers we've talked about in the past, whether it be your advisor, your record keeper, your third party administrator, who is handling what function? You know, is your record keeper assisting or helping with enrollments? Do you have an automatic enrollment arrangement where maybe you're just sending out materials to somebody and they're automatically enrolled? You know, are those being handled internally or externally? You know, is ongoing education being provided by, again, the record keeper? Is it being provided by an advisor? What format is that in? You know, I think that there's vendor-specific education. Really the siloed approach, you know, you look at your health or other group benefits, you have that guy come in and talk. You have your financial advisor that may come in and talk about the typical asset allocation markets, you know, the same kind of spiel, you know, and I think really it's taking that a step further in providing overall financial well-being, which is, you know, a very overused word in our industry these days. But I think it's important, you know, we do a really terrible job in this country of providing financial literacy and education to Americans, really. I mean, we teach them how to be consumers, how to accrue debt, because that is the kind of society we live in, but we don't teach them effective measures to saving and to managing their cash flow. So, you know, really understanding what you're currently doing, who's doing that on your behalf, will help you identify those holes in your current communication process. And I think really once you do that, the next step is creating a, you know, a plan that you can implement that, you know, it works for your specific workforce demographic.
You know, along those lines, when you still talk about health and the betterment of making your plan better and healthier, is being able to get, you know, as a fiduciary, you have a responsibility to get people to engage, to become participants, to participate, to be a part of the plan, and to learn and to educate themselves, because ultimately you're trying to get them towards sunset and have some sort of retirement that they've saved up over the time. And it really is a responsibility, whether it's moral or not, but as a plan sponsor, you really have this responsibility as a fiduciary to educate and to help your participants save more money. Some of the things that you've done maybe in the past in order to be able to engage those participants, can you give some sort of examples as to what those are and how you've had sort of successes in regards to engaging a participant?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I like to think that there's no one size fits all for how to properly engage a participant and educate them and ultimately motivate them. Realistically, it's really geared towards what your workforce demographic looks like. You know, for example, if you have a mostly blue collar workforce that are hourly employees that might be out on the shop floor, I have found more often than not, it is difficult to try and do engaging one-on-one or group setting education, because quite frankly, it means the employer has to take those people all off the line. So really, when I work with plans, whether it be existing or whether it be somebody that, you know, is entertaining the thought of hiring us, I try and look at different ways to do that and engage. And I think that's kind of in three different manners. I mean, one, I think it's really important to make sure that you're working internally with the people that currently communicate to your employee base, whether that be an HR person, an administrative person, in some instances, maybe the C-suite. You know, I think identifying, again, those current holes you have will help you find, you know, how to engage. I think engaging new hires is really important. I take pride in, and I've changed kind of our model over the last 2 years, where we used to do a lot of group enrollments. And I found after a short period of time that a lot of times we weren't getting the forms turned in, you know, timely, people weren't completing them. And what I realized very quickly is that I think a lot of it is this ability where people, A, they don't know this stuff. And because of that, the easiest path is to do nothing. And B, because they're not comfortable talking about their own personal finances, most likely because, again, it's private information. And in some instances, you know, they may feel ashamed, if you will, of where they're currently at. I really try and always take an approach that, you know, there's no shame in what you're currently doing. Let's talk about meaningful ways to improve that. You know, everybody have had moments in their life that are difficult moments, but my job is to help motivate, educate, and make sure that you're taking advantage of saving for your future. Because in my opinion, no one should have to work till the day they die just to live. You know, and that's why I'm passionate about what I do. And I think, you know, one-on-one enrollments to start with newly eligible employees is the first area I really look at in providing better engagement and better ongoing plan health, because it's an easy way to pick people up. And it's also great for the employer to have a really good onboarding experience for your new hire. You know, if I were a new employee and I was hired and I had somebody reach out to me one-on-one, personally walk through this process, set everything up for me, talk through how the investments work, set my beneficiary up, help me set up goal tracking tools, yeah, I'd be pretty impressed.
And that's all about the education as well. And that's what I want you to talk to here in a second. There's multiple different education softwares and programs and things that we use in the industry that help participants become healthier and become more aware, more financially healthy. Some of the programs you use in your practice are Help You Thrive and Retire You. Can you speak to some of those, that's sort of this topical education things that are catered towards the education of a participant?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, at Next Level Planning Wealth Management, really one of our cornerstones and belief is, you know, we want to educate and motivate. That's one of our primary goals. We've delivered financial wellness and education before it really became a hot topic for the better part of the last decade. And it's done typically in a topical format that is meant to educate people on their overall finances. We also have the ability at you know, employers' discretion to kind of integrate some of their current benefits to help better educate their employees on those, specifically around open enrollment, so that they're taking advantage of them. You know, i.e. if your company offers you some kind of legal program and we're giving a topical on estate planning and things that you need to understand, you know, for a will or what a power of attorney or health power attorney directive is. And obviously we don't give specific advice because we're not attorneys, but, you know, providing that overall education and resources is important. It's very difficult to find good, effective information out there these days because there's so much information out there. And really what we want to do is we want to make an employee think and hopefully take action on something that they're thinking about. You know, we typically will start off with RetireU with our financial management. It's kind of the six steps to financial freedom, which really encompass all areas of your finances. Budgeting and cash flow being one of the top areas that you need to first kind of consider about. You know, and that's just basic fundamentals of understanding where your money's going. You know, I think that the program that we have in place is very effective. We work with many large employers that we have no other business with. I also work with this and delivering it to some of our groups. I find at times it is challenging with some of the smaller groups to deliver this education. So currently what we're starting to do is with kind of everything that, you know, this whole virtual world that we've gone to the last, been forced to go to the last 6 months, we are starting to develop more recordings or live sessions with recordings that then allow the employees to go back and watch it. We ask employees at the end of each session, usually 40 to 45 minute session, all education, there's zero product talk in it. Essentially, we try and give them tools and we ask them to evaluate us, what we presented, the information that was put forth to them, whether or not they felt it was effective, and whether or not they plan to take action on that in the next 6 months. We then also allow them to vote on other topics that they're interested in, whether it's learning more about retiree healthcare, I'm learning more about, you know, Social Security or income strategies down the road. Where am I going to, how am I going to take that bucket of money that I have from, you know, I've saved for a lifetime of earnings and live off of that? You know, we try and help give them those topics and education, and we believe in letting them vote for the next topics they want to hear about, which really kind of keeps it more engaging. We then take all of that feedback, roll it up into a presentation and send it back out to the company or HR team and let them know, you know, here's what your employees responded to. Here's what they thought. Here's how they felt the information, correlated to them and if it was impactful. And the best part of these programs, we don't charge for them. We believe in providing the education at no cost. You know, we'll provide all the materials. We provide all of the guidance. And at the end, you know, we offer to anyone that sits through one of these presentations, complimentary financial planning, because quite frankly, you know, our job is, again, to motivate, educate, and to hopefully impact people in a positive manner and fill some of the gap that, unfortunately, we as Americans do a poor job at educating on.
You're listening to Lauren Brandrup. He is Next Level Planning and Wealth Management out of Brookfield, Wisconsin. He's the Director of Group Benefits and Retirement Plan Consulting. As a retirement plan consultant for them. And, you know, it's basically the show today about evaluating your plan health in the 401k side. Whether you're watching on YouTube or on a YouTube channel at Farrell Wealth, or whether you're listening on Money Matters or Greg on the podcast, either through Apple or Spotify or wherever you get your podcast. Just want to thank Lauren today for being on and just talking about the health of your 401k plan in regards to some of the things you can do as a plan sponsor to make your plan a little healthier, as we're all trying to be healthy and healthier in our everyday lives, trying to take care of ourselves a little bit better, especially in these COVID days. Lauren, is there anything you just want to leave everyone with, sort of a parting note?
Yeah, I think, you know, the biggest piece of advice I can give to somebody right now, this moment in time, that's operating their retirement plan, whether it be, you know, the name fiduciary, an HR person, or somebody that's you know, maybe a CFO or a CEO or president of a company or even business owner, is work with your plan advisor. Look to them as the quarterback of your team. You've assembled a team to help you operate these things. I take a very hands-on approach in how I work with our clients, and I believe it is my duty not only, again, to make sure that we have good processes in place for those people running the plan, but also that we have good education campaigns in place for those participants of the plan. And again, that can be done in many different areas. You know, I've really pivoted in many directions on how to go about delivering that, even ghostwriting memos for to try and engage non-participating employees, or in some cases, record keepers will record onboarding videos. So work with your plan advisor, have them help you identify gaps currently in your plan, and then put together a meaningful action plan that you can implement over the next year to then take a look and see, you know, how did this work? Did it improve our health? Ultimately, it's all for the best interests of plan participants and their beneficiaries. And we want to make Americans, have the ability to retire. So I appreciate you again, as always, Greg, of having me on. This has been wonderful and a lot of fun doing these three sessions with you. Hopefully, I have the opportunity to do some in the future with you as well.
Well, we appreciate having you on. Thanks so much. It's really been a pleasure getting to know you, and hopefully our audience and everyone out there has been able to really get to know you a little bit better as far as, just as not only as an advisor, but as a person. You can find him on LinkedIn. You can find him on his website, nlpwm.com. He's Lauren Brandrup, and he is a director of group benefits and retirement plan consultant, and he knows what he's talking about. I want to thank you again, Lauren. I really appreciate it. And to everyone out there, stay healthy. Have a healthy and profitable week and a month, and stay healthy and safe out there. And we hope this was some sort of value to you and yours in regards to this fiduciary series that is the final one here of our third of a total of three. Hope you've enjoyed it. You can find them on our YouTube channel and certainly any of the podcasts I mentioned before. Thanks again to everyone for listening and watching, and hope you have a healthy and profitable week. We'll see you.